Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The quote was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortar's the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The cummings, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked that you was once sober, but you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting there.
I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
Yeah, sit up and in. All right. Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Swear Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba, one of the teachers with the ISBHBK, the Israel School of Biblical History and Classical Knowledge. We have a school set up in Northern Virginia, Rochester, New York, Houston, Texas, and also San Antonio, Texas. We are associated with all Hebrew Israelites around the world that are trying to help waken up the 12 lost tribes, the nation of Israel, the 144,000, so that the one-third can be saved, so that eventually the two-thirds can be saved, and we all get up out of here. Again, thank you all for tuning in, whether you listen to us live right now, coming out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Well, it's up there, yeah, that's fine. Coming out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, or you might catch one of the archive shows. The best way to get in touch with us through the archive shows is if you download Google Podcasts. Once you download the app with Google, it's Google Podcasts, then in the search box type in blogtalkradio.com, that's / Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and that will bring you to our Blog Talk Radio podcast. of Sword of Truth. Hit the subscribe button, and then you'll be notified whenever we do a new broadcast, whether it's for myself, Priest Bonabod, Priest Tazapa, whenever we do a new show, you'll be notified of it. And one good thing about going through Google Podcasts is that if you listen to the show and you need to fast forward or rewind or whatever, going through Google Podcasts, it gives you that capability. If you just go straight to the blogtalkradio.com archives, you don't have that ability. Every time you stop the show and start it again, it's going to restart all the way from the beginning of that show. And you might be, if you're an hour and a half in already and want to just catch the last 30 minutes, and for whatever reason the show stops, then you have to come back all the way to the beginning of the show if you go just straight to the blogtalkradio.com / Mashallah. If you do it through Google Podcasts, then, again, you have the ability to be notified whenever we have new shows, and also to be the fast forward or the forward capabilities. The last time I checked Google Podcasts, as I looked, we have approximately 301 shows or episodes that we've done over the past, I think it's going on 12 years now. So if there's anything you need to catch up on or you might have missed, this is an excellent way to be able to get your library or get your classes filled by going through that right there. Tonight's class is Trust in the Lord with All Thine Heart. And as you go through the episodes, you'll see we've gone through this topic many times, many different times, but I'm hitting a different angle tonight. And we're probably going to visit this several times as I refine this class. But the first scripture we're going to go to is Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. We get to Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. If you could put it on medium, maybe, son, if you don't mind. The second one. Second one from the top.
Exodus chapter 4. And it says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord.
Exodus 4:22.
Exodus 4, verse 22. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, give my firstborn.
All right, cool. So I want to go here with this scripture here. In dealing with this, it might seem strange. Why are we going to this scripture? We're going to deal with trust. In dealing with trust, first off, I want us to understand how God feels about the nation of Israel. You know, he says that Israel is his son, even his
I said his firstborn.
Well, that's how special we are to the Most High. That we are his first, that we are his son, even his firstborn. Just meaning that he has a special place for us. Let me just finish up these scriptures. He really has a special place for us in his heart. That he's a father to us. That when we read the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Matter of fact, that our Father, he's only a father to Israel. Matter of fact, give me Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 9 now. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 9. So we have from Exodus chapter 4 verse 22, the Lord professing to, and the reason the Exodus 4:22 was so prominent, so potent, is because remember at that time the Egyptian Empire, Egypt was the greatest empire on the planet at the time. Even to this day, a lot of Egyptian mathematics, Egyptian science, the far reaches of what Egypt did, its medicines, its philosophies, even extend all the way up to America today. That Egypt has had a great impact on the whole entire world throughout history. That but the Most High is going to be known that as great and as powerful as Egypt was, to where people are still talking about it to this day, that the Lord's feelings is that Israel is his son. And it is with the firstborn. That is not. It wasn't about Egypt. Even to this day, you have people talking about Kemet, and talking about again, Egyptian philosophy, math, and medicines and what have you. But even above all that, the Lord's feelings is that, no, Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn, that he really has a special affinity, if I'm going to use that word, towards the Israelites, because the Israelites at the time were slaves. We were on the bottom. We were beneath everybody, and dealing with the Egyptian Empire. Even though it was through our forefather Joseph, through his inspiration from God, that helped bring Egypt to be such a great empire. You know that when we read Josephus, we're not going to do it tonight. That as much as they talk about Egyptian mathematics, it says that Abraham actually taught the Egyptians arithmetic. Medicine says arithmetic. I don't know if you remember. So he's talking about arithmetic, astrology, and it was a third thing. But it's not important right now. But the study of the stars, right? Not horoscopes, but actually the study of the stars and all that type of stuff. That Abraham actually brought that to the Egyptians. So the Hebrews have always had a great impact on the world, and even Egypt at this particular time. So from Exodus 4:22, we have, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now we're going to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 9.
Jeremiah 31, verse 9. They shall come with weakness, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am the father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn.
So it doesn't say that the father is proclaiming himself, that he is a father to Israel. And here he says Ephraim my firstborn, because at this time there was a split in the kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, and the northern kingdom was looked down upon for a lot of the sins that they got into. But it's telling us here that the father is a father to Israel. So not only is the Israelites his son, but he's proclaiming that he is a father to Israel. So again, when we read the Lord's Prayer, it says, our Father who art in heaven, the God of heaven considers himself to be the father to the Israelites. He considers the Israelites to be his son. And we know the Israelites, being the 12 tribes of Israel, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, so-called Mexicans, those people of Negroid and so-called Indian descent and so-called Hispanic descent that have been scattered throughout North, Central, South American, Caribbean islands here in this hemisphere, that he is a father to the Israelites, and that the Israelites, that we're his sons, okay? From there, let's go to Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. I know this was contrary to what a lot of people might have learned through Christianity, the religion of Christianity. But we actually get into the Bible, and that's why we named this this radio show that we do, the Sword of Truth Bible Talk, that we want the Bible to do the talking. We want the Bible to be heard. It's been too long that we've not heard the Bible, but we've heard people give their opinions through philosophy, through theology, through theory, through just a cipher. You're just sitting around somewhere sparking a bowl, just talking, and just talking. There's been too much of that. That everybody's just talking and giving their opinion, and we don't get a chance to, what does the Bible say? Because now to do that, that means you have to be quiet. You'd have to listen. And, you know, like the Bible sentence you first brought out, why did God give you 2 ears and one mouth? He gave you 2 ears and one mouth, so you do twice as much listening as you do talking. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's nowhere in the scriptures, but that's something they came up with, that if you really want to learn, you really want to get something, you gotta be quiet. It's not about you talking. It's not about you running your mouth, because that's why we have so many different religions today, because people talk. People run their mouth, and we don't actually let the Bible speak. We don't let God's words come out. So now we go to Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, whoever has that.
But here's my little child. Then I rescued him and called my son out of Egypt.
Right, again, so when Israel was a child, when we first began as a nation, in Egypt. He said, when Israel was a child, then I loved him. And I called my son out of Egypt. So I'm just trying to stress the point right now as we go through some of the scriptures, how the Most High feels about the nation of Israel, how the Most High feels about the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and the so-called Mexicans. How does he actually feel about us? That, again, that we're his sons, all right, and that he loves us. Like a father loves the son. That's the relationship that God has with the nation of Israel. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll start at verse 1.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Lest
thine
heart keep my commandments.
All right, cool. So I want to go here again. I first want to establish how the Most High feels about the nation of Israel, that we're his sons and he's our father. I wanted to get that established first in some of the scriptures. And then coming here to Proverbs chapter 3, what is the Most High saying to the nation of Israel, for the nation of Israel being his son? He says, my son, forget not my law. All right, that... Again, who is the Most High speaking to? To the children of Israel, his sons, his people. And he's telling his sons, like a father would tell a son, don't forget my law, all right? And but let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, if we go to Webster's 1828 dictionary, if we go to Webster's 1828 dictionary and get the first definition of law, including the etymology behind the word law, from Webster's 1828 dictionary. And again, what does all this have to do with trust? Is what I want us to understand is why we should trust in God's method. Why we should trust in the Lord's method. That we've not been taught to trust in the Lord's method. We've been taught to trust in many different things, but not to trust in how God does things. That as a father looks over a child, looks over a son, and is worried about his safety, is worried about his worried about his safety, worried about him, only wants the best. The father only wants the best for his child. The father only wants the best for his son. That the father it has the same outlook and the same respect towards the nation of Israel. Whereas, well, what do you have for definition, whoever might have it? Webster's 1828 dictionary definition for the word law.
Do you have it right here?
What do you got?
A rule, particularly an established or permanent rule, prescribed by the supreme power of the state to its, of the state to its subject.
All right, cool. Does it have in there a law where it says from the Latin word lex?
That which is laid, set, or fixed by statute, constitution, that's the
lex. Right, so we can start from there, please.
Law is that which is laid, set, or fixed.
All right, so it tells you a law is that which is laid. So it says the Most High is telling his sons, forget not my law, or forget not what I laid down for you. Forget not what I've set up for you. Don't forget it. I'm setting this up so you can prosper. I'm setting this up so you can have it all. The way I'm laying this down, don't forget it. Keep this way. This is what God is laying down for his sons, for his children. Do it this way. Do what I'm laying down. It was going to say what? Like a statute, constitution. Now go ahead and go to definition number one.
Number one, a rule.
So he says, don't forget my rules. The things I'm laying down for you, don't forget. Don't forget my rules. Now, again, this is God talking to the nation of Israel. And many of us can understand if you have a father who's been in your life, that obviously your father is not trying to give you something that's going to hurt you. Obviously your father's trying to give you something, give you rules, give you statutes, give you boundaries, even if you will, for your good, for you to have the best life possible. Well, this is not coming from the Most High. This is not coming from God himself, the creator. Don't forget my rules. Don't forget what I laid down. Don't forget how I do things. It says, reading on, please, Sean, a rule.
Particularly an established or permanent rule.
Particularly an established or permanent rule. Don't forget how God does things. Get very familiar with his constitution. Get familiar with how he does, how he sees things. Don't forget it. Reading on.
Prescribed by the supreme power of a state to its subjects.
Go ahead.
For regulating their actions.
For these rules is for what purpose?
Regulating their actions.
Don't forget these rules to regulate your actions. That the way you move, the decisions you make, my rules are a guide for you. And if you do it this way, it's going to be for your protection. It's going to be for your betterment. I'm sorry?
For your safety.
It's going to be for your safety. That I've got these rules set up to guide your actions. To guide, and these are permanent rules, again, to guide your actions. Go ahead.
Particularly your social actions.
This is how you're supposed to act socially. Do it this way. Don't forget how God has things established. And that's what's happened now to the nation of Israel. As children, as God's sons, we've forgotten God's rules for how we're supposed to act. We've forgotten God's rules for how to deal in social situations. And we keep coming up with our own ways, what seems right to us, what seems proper to us, as opposed to God's rules was to establish from, if we can let all these go, God's rules was to do what? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image.
So these men that he wanted to make in his image, that he wanted to be like him, wound up being the Israelites. Above all the other nations, above everybody else, he wanted them to be made like him. He wanted us to become gods on this earth. So his rules for guiding our actions, his rules for guiding our mind, that he laid these down so we could be like him. So when people saw us, they would see God. They would see him. But if we forget what God's rules are for guiding our actions, for guiding our thoughts, for guiding our way of doing things, then we're not going to be seen as gods. We're going to be seen as the modern day version of what? What kind of God? Is it John 14 and 9? Check that. So we know that among Israelites, we're bringing that scripture in right now. Among Israelites, we know Christ is the firstborn among all Israelites, right? And that in the same way now that Christ is the firstborn, it says, remember, Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. That when you saw Christ, you saw the Most High. So for Christ to be the firstborn among many brethren, that the rest of the brothers that are following Christ, that's what we're going to get into also with this class, is that they're supposed to see God. And that's not our image of what Marvel says a God's supposed to be. It's not anime's vision of what a God's supposed to be. What's that, Goku?
Dragon Ball Z.
That's a Dragon Ball Z type or whatever. or Jackie Chan's image of what a God is. But God's rules will lead us to being in that position of God's, being in that position of being like him. And for whatever reason, we have always despised wanting to do it God's way, which we want to be in charge. We want to be able to boast about what we have, about how great we are, how God is with us. But then when it comes to doing it his way and following his rules, we want to rebel. We want to give our opinion. We want to give something. We want to give our outlook on it. And we have the nerve, and even said in the scriptures, we have the nerve to tell God, God, how you love us? If you love me, you give me the desires of my heart. Nigga, if you're a God, do you understand that you'll get the desires of your heart? But wait, no, that's not what I mean. I was watching this cartoon, and the way this guy was in this cartoon, that's what I think a God should be. And I should be able to have this and be like this and do like this. Like, I'm the creator of the universe. If you follow me, I'm going to give you everything. You will be a God. But what is it we have to do? We have to follow his rules. We have to follow his what he laid down. We have to follow what he set up for our actions. All right? Genesis 1:26 and going back to Proverbs.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion.
And let them have dominion. I'm trying to put you in charge. I'm trying to make you the HNIC, the head nigga in charge. I'm trying to put you there. Why are you not following my rules and the way I laid it out? Why is it so difficult for you to just follow? Why do you have to be so stubborn? Why do you have to be so rebellious? Why do you think you know what you're doing? When obviously this is something you've never done before. This is something you've never done this before, so why would you think you know better? Why would you be afraid to follow my rules when I'm trying to show you by following my rules for your actions? This will give you dominion. This will put you on top. This will put you in charge. And you won't fail because you're doing it my way. A lot of us have self-esteem issues because we don't follow God's rules for our actions. So we have nothing but a lot of fear. I had just a lot of fear, period. You're afraid of the dark. You're afraid of the boogeyman. You're afraid of the it clown. You're afraid of clowns, period. Why? If you follow God's rules, if we follow God's rules for our actions, we would have nothing to fear. We'd have nothing to be afraid of. But because we don't follow God's rules that he laid down to guide our actions, to guide our thoughts, we have nothing left but a bunch of fear. We have nothing left but a bunch of lack of self-esteem. We have nothing but a bunch of just literally being scared of everything. Matter of fact, real quick, letting Genesis go. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to be verse 45 and then jump down to verse 64. Verse 63. Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to be verse 45 and then verse 63. Chapter 28. Verse 45. And then we're going to jump down to verse 63. Genesis chapter 28. Verse 45. And then we're going to jump down to verse 63. You're going to read a lot louder, son. I got the phone all the way up here.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 45.
Where you been? Read like that all the time. Damn, that's not. Woke me up. Shit. Where in the hell have you been? Got to be cussing on the radio and every damn thing. Go ahead.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed.
Why?
Because thou
again, it's like a father talking to a son. You got a lot of bad things are going to happen to you, and you're going to try and get away from it because you think you know better, you think you're smart, you think you see something that I don't see, and you're going to run into a lot of problems. You're going to have a lot of issues in your future and in how you're dealing with things, and it's going to pursue you and overtake you because you don't listen to what I lay down. You don't follow how I try to set things up for you. You just on some real rebellious stuff. You want some real just, you're going to do it your way. You're not going to be guided. And then, again, this is God speaking to the nation of Israel. Finish that.
To keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee.
All right, now, Jeremiah verse 63. What was going to be one of the punishments or one of the consequences that was going to happen to the nation of Israel? Because we don't follow God's rules. Because we don't follow what God established to guide our actions. Verse 63. I'm sorry?
Deuteronomy 28:63. And it shall come to pass that the Lord
will
rejoice over you to do you good.
All right, so just like a father will rejoice over you to do you good because you're following the rules. You're following the actions. You're doing things so that now you can prosper, that you can have a good life, have the best life. Your children will have the best life. Your children's children will have the best life. Just let God rejoice over us to do us good. Read. Yeah, you guys figure just a little bit.
So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you.
So the Lord is now, I'm going to rejoice over you to destroy you, to spank you, to get you. Yes, I'm rejoicing because you're not listening. You're not following. Read.
And to bring you to naught.
And to do it.
Bring you to naught.
And bring, so you will have nothing. This is why the nation of Israel goes through the change we go through. Keep reading.
And you shall be plucked off the land with your bound government.
Keep reading.
Verse 64. And most I shall scatter thee among all people. One end of the earth, even unto the other.
So now, whereas we have families, when we follow his rules, what he laid down to guide our actions, to guide how we do things, now we're going to be scattered. And how's it feel for those of y'all that might have ever been a military baby, a military brat, that every couple of years you got to move somewhere and be the new kid? That's an awkward feeling that no one there knows you. So you're going to get picked on or try to be bullied, try to be hazed. Try to be initiated. You got to go through some changes. Well, this is what the Father's telling us. Now, instead of being in my house where you have protection, where you have guidance, where you have safety, you have comfort, now you're going to be in a position where you're going to be scattered. So where now you ain't going to have somebody there who's got your back. You ain't going to have somebody there to help you, who understands you. Now we're going to be scattered. Reading on. Please keep the volume up,
Clive. And there thou shalt serve unto God, neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone.
But so now we're going to serve other gods, even wood and stone, and just like money. Now we're looking for money to be our safety, our security, our guide. We're looking for a gun, a weapon, crystals, sage, plants, incense. We're looking for all these other things to be some type of safety, some type of guide, some type of comfort. Reading on.
Verse 65. Among these nations shalt thou find no evil.
And while we're among the other nations, while the nation Israel has been scattered among all these other nations, we're not going to find any ease. So now we got to work twice as hard. Now we're going to be persecuted. Now we're going to be the first hired and the last hired, the first fired. Now, it's going to be discrimination because we're among the nations. Because when we thought they understood us, we thought they was going to give us a break. We thought they, that you know what? No, they're my friends. They really care about me. You don't care about me. All they want to do is see the best for me. So they smoke weed and do mollies and do this, that, whatever. And see, they want me to have fun. You don't want me to have fun. It's just rules. And you don't understand that I'm a free spirit.
you understand that I just need to be able to live my life. You can't live your life through me, damn it. I've got to be free, and my friends let me be free. They let me just do whatever. But now you say, among these nations, you never find any ease. And they say, what, from after ease?
Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest.
Read on.
But the Lord shall give thee their trembling heart.
But now, among who, these people you thought were your friends, we're going to have what? A trembling heart. Scared. Fear. You don't know what might happen. You thought they had your back. Again, you find yourself being fired. You thought they had your back. You wound up getting arrested while they dip out and everything's cool for them. But you had this idea that they had your best interest. He says, now your heart, your foot ain't going to find no rest. That you thought, I'm not going to obey the rules of my dad's house. I'm not going to obey the rules of my father's house. So I'm going to go on my own because my friends got me. I can go stay with them, and I'll be free. They let me sleep on the couch. They let me, bed. I'll serve from this friend's house to this friend's house, and they'll take care of me. And their parents, they love me. They really love me. So they're going to feed me. They'll give me a shower. They'll give me a place to stay. I can even use their car. That they are going to give me freedom because they understand me. But he said, among them, you're going to find no ease. Your foot ain't going to have no rest. Reading on. And then the Lord's going to give you a trembling heart. Reading on. And a fear in your eyes that everything you look for, you have no hope. That everything you're thinking is supposed to work out for you, you're going to see that it doesn't work to where you really have no hope. That, damn, what am I going to do? So I need to ease my mind. So I'm going to drink. It's the gateway drugs, right? It's the gateway. From drinking to cigarettes, from cigarettes to weed, from weed to what, Lord knows where the hell you're going. Because you need something to ease your mind. I need something to ease the pain. I need something to deal with my mind. This is what's going to happen. Reading on. And now, read it from the top, sir. I'm sorry.
When you said sorrow of mind or something.
Yeah, speak up too. How are you going to be next to me and speak lower?
I'll turn it up. So when he said sorrow of mind, he was speaking of the sickness, mental sickness of depression. You're going to go through a depression.
Yeah. This is what we're left with. Because instead of following the rules and the way God laid things out, we thought we had a better way. Then when reality catches up with us, this is what we're faced with. Verse 64 again, please, sir.
Verse 64.
I'm sorry, 65.
65. Among these nations shall thou find no ease. Neither shall the soul of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee their troubled heart, feeling of eyes, and sorrow of mind.
Who's giving this to us? That's great. Is it that he's given it to us, or is this what we chose?
That's what we chose. By not obeying his statutory, his rules.
By not following what he laid out?
Right. Those are the consequences consequences and repercussions of not following or being disobedient.
And this is the result of what happens by not following what he laid out. It ain't so much even that he's doing this on purpose to it. This is the result of not following his established way. I'm not following what he set up permanently for our good. If his way is for our good and we choose not to follow it, then what's left? That's all that's left. That's all that you can look forward to. So all you can look forward to is looking for love in all the wrong places. Now I think she loved me. I think he loved me because he said I had pretty eyes. He said I had she said that she never seen a six-pack like mine or whatever. I'm just looking for love. I'm looking for somebody to understand me. Yeah, speak up. Right. That you're working a Good point. You're working for somebody else, making them money, making sure that they have vacations and comfort and the best of everything while you got to bust your ass. But why is it set up, why is this happening? Because we stopped obeying and following what God laid out for the nation of Israel for our good, for our safety, for our as a shield. Verse 65.
And among the nations shalt thou find no weed, neither shall the soul thy foot have grass.
So what was the Lord trying to protect us from?
Stress.
I like that. That your mind can't stop running. So now you're dealing with the insomnia. You're dealing with the depression. You're dealing with again, the sorrow of mind. That I thought he loved me. I thought she loved me. I thought we'd be together forever. I thought that she was the one. Why would God give us that when we're not following his rules for our good? Why would he let that happen? You're damn right he wouldn't. Reading on.
There are heavenly hearts, failing hearts, sorrow hearts, and your life shall hang in doubt before you.
And now your life is hanging in doubt before you. What am I going to say? What am I going to live? I'm going to eat. I'm going to be taken care of. I know how. Let me make sure I get good credit. I got to make sure I got good credit, because now how else am I going to be taken care of? I got to make sure, you know what? I got to be a great athlete so that I can get a scholarship. Get to college or get to the pros that I can be taken care of. But, damn, on my way there, I didn't take academics serious at all. Oh, I just tore my meniscus. Oh, I just tore my ACL. Oh, I just tore, what was that, Kobe's injury? With the, I just snapped my Achilles tendon. Oh, okay.
What's next to this earth? Or where do I go from here, we used to talk about starting over. Now it's like not what we're talking about, dealing with our consequences, the situation we're putting ourselves in. The most I just let us go through our consequences. Now you're thinking, what's next? Okay, fuck, where do I go from? Sorry. Okay, where do I go from here? What do I do next? How do I get back? How do I do that? And that's, we're talking about your mind that's running this. You're still trying to figure out what to do by yourself instead of just giving yourself the Most High and finally just listening, following his rules. This is what he's trying to tell you. He's trying to tell you, stop doing it by yourself. Just listen. But what's next? Where do I go? What do I do? What's next? And then it goes along from there.
It snowballs.
Yeah.
It really does snowball. All right. Reading on, Kyle.
Middle 6.
So, 6-6 again. Tell everybody where you're at.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 66.
So now your life hangs in doubt before you. I don't know if the cops can shoot me. I don't know if I thought me and this girl was having things work out, but her mom moved in, her aunt moved in. They said I got a week to get out. Everything I thought was going to be a plan that was going to work, it's crashing. I thought he was my best friend, and that he always had my back, MOB or what have you. But then he gets to the point where, nigga, you need to get a job. Oh, why are you coming to me like that? You know I'm trying to become a rapper. You know we're going to do this music thing. Nigga, bills are still coming. So now your life hangs in doubt. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Maybe I'll join the military. Add more people in your face telling you what to do. Spitting in your face. Telling you what to do. How to dress. Look, they told us when we could use the bathroom. We had in boot camp, we had 5 minutes. They called it shit, shower, and shave. In 5 minutes. It wasn't this where you had just 30 minutes. I'm just taking a 30-minute shower my damn self. Just let the water run. Get real steamy. Get real comfortable. Finish that. Then another 30 minutes just sitting on the commode, just on my throne, just contemplating life, because, yeah, and just make it all nice and neat and right proper, because also you got the, I got the wipes also. I have my toilet paper, but I also got my Walmart wipes. I can make sure everything back there is nice and clean and fresh. Trying to get it done. We had 5 minutes. You had to take your shit, to shower, and it wasn't 5 minutes each. Total. To shit, shower, and shave. Make it happen. But maybe the military is my way out. Maybe that's how I'm going to go. Maybe that's where I can find myself and I can finally be free. Reading on?
Thou shalt fear day and night.
And you're going to fear day and night. Read.
And shall have none assurance of thy life.
And I got no assurance of my life. I don't know. Don't know what's next. So you're afraid of from a it could be a drive by. It could be now. It could be COVID. It could be a bee sting. It could be a tornado storm. It could be a sunburn. It could be you never know. A car might jump the curb, come into the yard, and hit you. So then they see your ass walking Walgreens.
Yeah, I was going to say, I might even like, there's a number, they already have your information going. So if you're, you feel like you're scared of every track of what you have, sort of action, I can say.
Straight paranoid.
My name is like, the government doesn't matter, like, they got your information, and they can throw your addresses on the IRS app. They're really going to find you. You need to part of your ID.
Look at, with the facial recognition technology, I'm sure where the hell is that right now. And everywhere you go, there's a camera, from the ATM to street signs to the satellites to store cameras to that Batman movie they showed you where he made everybody's phone part of sonar or what have you. If they already got that technology, where are you going to hide at? But again, the paranoia is from what? You're scared of everything. You have this paranoia because you have this feeling, nobody's got my back. I've got no protection. They're always watching. Somebody's always out to get me. What have you been through in your life? Going without a guide? Going without rules? That now, this is all you have left? And then by the time you take whatever drug, from heroin, fentanyl, whatever the fuck is out here, how much more have you blown your mind to where that makes sense to you? That makes sense to you. You have no guide. You got no show. You got no protection. You have not been following any of the rules that God laid down for your actions, for your safety, for a shield, for protection. So you really out here on your own trying to figure this out. And we got millions of people that you can go out here and see, damn, look at you, man. You're bugged out. Why do you got to smoke that much? Why do you got to drink that much? Lil Wayne had covered so much of his skin with tattoos that now he has to get glow-in-the-dark tattoos. The ink is actually glow-in-the-dark. You can't cover yourself up with any more tattoos. You can't. So what you got to do now is get tattoos, over your tattoos, that as they glow in the dark ink, so now in the dark, these tattoos can be seen. Yeah. Okay, but somehow you thought that was a good idea, that was going to be, that you're going to be accepted by this group of people for your safety, for your tribe, I guess. Reading on.
67. In the morning, thou shalt say, God did even work. When God did work even.
So, in the morning, you would say, man, I wish it was nighttime. That again, there's no rest. That you get, it's just, there's no rest. There's no comfort. The insomnia. You can't stop thinking. And all you can think about is consequences. All you can think about is just how bad things are. All you can think about is just straight fear that from final destination type of conclusions to just whatever bad luck is out here, it's going to hit you. So now you are afraid of everything. Reading on.
And at even thou shalt say, with God, for morning.
Again, insomnia. You can't sleep. You literally cannot sleep because you can't stop thinking. Your mind is constantly running. So that leads to what? I need to smoke something. I need to take something. I just need to try and drink so I can finally get some sleep. I can finally try and get some rest. My mind won't stop. So I need some of that heroin to slow me down. I need something for my head. Reading on.
67. For the fear of thy heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thy eyes, which thou shalt
see. Because all you're going to see, there's no good anywhere. I don't see anything going good. I don't see anything good happening at all. But why is this? Because instead of following God's rules and his established permanent rules to guide our actions, we forget that and we go by everything else. And then we see all those things fail. So now all we have left is fear and some type of substance abuse. It didn't have to be this way. It don't have to be this way. Now when the Father, our God, our Father, our Dad, was trying to give us rules, trying to give us things to give us the best position in life, in the world, in eternity, in the universe, ever. All right? Was that it for 67? All right, cool. We know 68 is when we need to go there. Let's go to go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. Now let's read that again.
Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments.
But let your what?
My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments.
It says, don't forget my law or my rules to guide your actions. Don't forget it. But let your heart keep my commandments. Now, going back to the Webster's 1828, can we get the fourth definition for heart? Going back to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, I need the fourth definition for heart.
The blood
going green, heard, but... You know, read it again. You're going to read it louder and slower so everybody can catch up.
Webster 1828, heart, definition 4, the seat of the affection.
The seat of your affection. So I want to insert that part into the scripture. I want to insert that part right there you just read. I want to insert that part into the scripture.
Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, forget not.
So let your what is the basis of your affection? Let what your affection be what? Keeping the Most High's commandments. Let that be what is your affection is set upon. Not on whatever other crazy notion. How many kids we'll just jump to high school? No. How many kids have their life changed what they want to be when they grow up? from you want to be every damn thing. Okay? An assassin. What does Snoop want to be? I want to be a pimp. That was one of his old songs. Long before there was Gray and all this type of shit. I want to be a pimp. I want to be a gangster. I want to be I want to be a video game analyst. I want to be I want to be a pro gamer. Okay, okay. I want to be a NBA superstar, some type of professional athlete. And it changes every year.
It gets more elaborate. It gets more elaborate, closer, more realistic every other year. Because, like, when you're a kid, you just want to be every other thing. Then, like, you get to, like, preteen and stuff. That's when you start seeing, say, Assassin's Creed. Start, I want to be a video game designer. I want to be an NFL athlete. Then you get to, like, high school. By that time, it's like, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a nurse. I want to be a fire technician. I want to be an electrician. The politicians, you know,
but it's
like, it gets more elaborate.
And then you realize how much work it takes. Like, well, maybe I just want to... I just want to work. So, the scripture says, let your affection... It says, forget not my law, forget not my rules, forget not what I've laid down to guide your actions, to guide how you set your life up. Don't forget this, but let... What you set your affection on, the seat of your affection, let it be what? The Most High's commandments. What does the Most High command? Let that become my affection, what I love. Let that become, so what's that telling you right there? It's a choice. You have a choice of what you choose to put your affection on. It's a choice. It's not like, it's just in me, this is who I am, and if you don't like it, to hell with you. No, that's the white man's mentality. God is giving his sons the option of what you decide to put your affection on. If you want to be that NBA player, you can decide to put your affection there, or you can decide to put your affection on what the Most High wants. These are all decisions, choices. He, in that sense, he gave you a free will. In that sense, you have a free will of what you decide is going to become your affection. It's a choice. You can make a choice in what you are going to put your affection into. So he's telling us, my son, from Proverbs 17, verse 1, my son, forget not my law. Forget not my rules, particularly an established or permanent rule for regulating actions. Don't forget that. And then let this become your affection. Let this become what you love. So, again, go back now to the definition of heart. Number four, it says what?
It says the seat of the affection is passion.
Your passion. Let your passion be how God does things. You can decide to make this your passion. Then you can decide to make whatever a passion. We have we can choose to make God's way of doing things a passion, a love, what I choose to put my affection to. We have that choice. Finishing out Proverbs 3 and 1.
Proverbs chapter 3 and 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep thy best.
And what else do we have for heart? There's more to the definition, right?
As of love.
Let the Most High's way become what you love. Let the Most High's way become your joy. I have a joy doing this because I know by doing it God's way and I let God guide my actions, I mean God guide how I do things, it's going to be for my good because he's my dad. He's my father. I'm his son. What else?
Free.
Go ahead.
Identity.
Courage. Courage, I want to get to. Let your courage come from, I'm doing it the way God wants me to do it. Why do so many people have self-esteem problems and doubt? You don't know what the fuck you're doing. Yeah, I don't want to mess it up. I'm afraid if I do it my way, it's not going to work. I'm afraid, and I got fear. I don't know. So why is the person turning to drinking? Liquid courage. That this will give me courage. I need to do this, and this will give me it'll let down my inhibitions. It'll let go of my fears, so I can go ahead and I can now go get that liquid courage. It don't have to be that way. It really does not have to be that way. If we just go ahead and choose, let me follow God's rules. Let me follow his way of guiding my actions. Let my actions be guided by that. Let my passion, let my affection, let my desire, let my love, let my joy, let my courage come from, I'm following God's way of doing things. So it's going to work. We can look and see a nation of people who are miserable, sad. You really have to have the latest, newest iPhone every time in order to be happy? You really have to have we saw it yesterday, right? You really have to have the latest reprint of the Michael Jordans to be happy? You really have to have the latest whatever in order to be happy, and you're not happy? Okay, so you need a 10 on your arm. So you get like a so Cardi B is your mental image of a good woman? Megan Thee Stallion? Really? So because this is what all the guys like, all the guys want. Now this is the standard of because I got a woman who is a bangler. For me, Kim Kardashian, really? I just can't. That'd be a hard one for me. You've been with three professional athletes.
Publicly.
It was Griffin. Reggie. Well, I'm sorry, athletes.
Reggie
fucking Bush. Hell yeah, this thing is running.
You're
running through 300-pound niggas.
Yeah.
Getting 100-yard sprints and the endurance and the stamina level you got. And then an NBA. How many games in the NBA season?
90.
Somebody look it up real quick. Hey, just on that in itself. You're playing 84 games, if it's 84. You don't make, and that's not even talking the postseason. You don't play 84 games against other professional athletes. You are sprinting and jumping and running and sweating. And then you still go after, if you be like Kobe, after 72. Then after practice, after the game, you put in more practice? Of straight. Calisthenics.
Yeah.
What's that? What's a CrossFit down there? And if you ran up behind three of them, I don't know how she held a baby. I don't know how her womb held a baby. She probably couldn't. Yeah.
The way they try to back it up is look at Jay-Z's content. Who did it now, Beyonce? This is like, we get dreadlocks, out of shape, was old as hell, but he was
right. Yes. Now, every one night stand a man has, he's trying to leave his print, his mark on that female. The more cute or fine she is, you getting all this. I'm gonna shoot my shot, but this is gonna, you gonna remember me. You gonna remember this. Right. But when you get, you try and knock this, I'm gonna go real old school reference. Y'all, I know y'all probably don't know it. It was in Boys in the Hood. He said, let me knock the stuff off that egg and muffin. That's the mentality of every man who gets with a cute, fine woman. I'm going to knock this out. I'm going to put in my best. You about to get the hardest, longest, meanest, savage. I'm going to go beast mode. And the thought that you will never, there'd never be enough. You're not, nobody's going to be able to come behind me.
I can't follow me.
Nobody, I'm wrecking this. You ain't going to think about nobody else but this. That's why everybody talks the same shit. Whose is this? Whose is it? And she didn't learn the routine. It's yours. She didn't even say your name no more. It's yours, baby. When she says baby a lot, that's when she'll say the wrong name. It's yours, baby. Well, my name ain't baby. She had to say that so she don't say the real, say the wrong name of whoever the last person was who made her say that. So now everybody's just baby, dog, bae, hon, whatever. But that's the mentality. So you get this a beautiful woman. Outside, she's beautiful. But who hasn't had the same thought, seek and destroy thought that you have about this beautiful, fine woman? Everyone that's had her has had the same thought. And you think you're getting something special? But what are God's rules about what to look for in a woman? What are God's rules of what to set your affection on? That this is the type of woman you should be looking for. If you're looking for that type, for a wife, that companion, that ride or die, that one that's going to really be there for you, what about his rules for your actions that will lead you to peace, that will lead you to say, that will lead you to what that love that you're looking for? That gets forgot about, so you're going by whatever other standard. And because of that, now let's go real quick to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 54. But let's read verse 15 and then 54. Mm-hmm. No, we can read 45. We can read 45 again.
Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45.
Yep.
And it says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
I don't want to follow God's rules. I don't want to follow his guide for how I'm supposed to conduct my life. I don't feel like I'm being forced. I don't want that. Finish it.
Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded.
Give me down verse 54 now.
54.
So because I don't follow his rules for how to guide my actions, I don't do this. Now verse 54.
Deuteronomy chapter 49 and verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, so that the man that is in their among and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother.
Because now, I don't know how to pick friends. Now, I don't know how to pick friends. I don't know what to look for in a friend. I'm going by it because we have the same hobbies. But he's another nation. I don't know how to pick friends. So I'm introverted. I might be outgoing, but I don't know who really loves me for me. If I'm not the funniest, if I'm not the clown, if I'm not the life of whatever, they wouldn't give two fucks about me. They wouldn't give me the time of day. Or I'm the one who's got some type of money, or I got the car, or whatever. So now I'm cool with everybody as long as I can give them something. So now it says what?
It says, so Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 54. So that the man that is tender among you is very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward him.
So I don't know how to pick friends. I not use God's guide as my affection, as my passion, as my joy of what's God's rules on what makes a good friend, what makes a brother. I'm not going by that. I'm going by everything but what God says. So now I might have been in a situation where they done tricked on me, they left me hanging. I thought they had my back, and they don't. Reading on.
And toward the wife of his bosom.
And now his eye turns evil towards who?
His wife. The wife
of his bosom. Because did I use God's rules for picking a wife? No. So now my eye turns evil towards this woman. Read.
And toward the remnant of his children.
And now I had kids with her. Read.
Which he shall leave.
And now it just ain't working out. From irreconcilable differences to I cannot be here around this person any longer. Why? What standard did you use? What guided your actions to let you think that this was the right woman? What illusion or delusion were you under? That now you done got into this situation, you done got into this relationship, even to where y'all have kids. And now it's disastrous. All right, what verse for you?
So Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 54. And it says, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground, for delicateness and tenderness.
You put this woman up on a pedestal. You put her up that she's my soulmate. These are just soulmate. I love her. She's tender. I ain't gonna let nobody. I'm that jealous nigga. I'm just full of rage when it comes to my woman. Because I'm afraid. You see, the way it kind of works out is, she was somebody else when I met her. And then things happened, and she found out she really loved me and not him. So, we got together. But now I got this fear that now some other nigga's going to come do that to me. So if I don't stay in the gym with my six-pack, if I don't keep this amount of money coming in, if I don't cater to everything she wants, everything she says, somebody might come and take my woman. I got to become that jealous. Just, I got to watch over everything she does because she might leave me. Why do you have all this fear? If you follow God's rules and his guide to guide your actions, Guess what you will never have? That fear that somebody's with my woman. We can read all through the scriptures from Judith, Esther, Susanna. They were widows at a young age. Whatever was going on, they became widows when they were young, and they never remarried. A lot of people today would think that that's impossible. No, because they did things the way the Most High said do things, because they followed God's laws and his rules in guiding yourself in towards who to marry, who not to marry. This woman could not remarry anybody. Her heart was given to you. So it didn't matter what dude came sniffing around her. How much money, how much more money he might have had trying to throw it at her. Because you followed God's law and his rules and his actions, this woman is committed to you and you alone. Nobody could ever come and take her away, even if you died. Even if you died, no one could ever get to her. But because we don't follow God's laws, God's rules, in our actions, we go by what we think we know best about a woman or what have you. Instead of following what God says, now I'm afraid that she might be with someone else. Another person might come and get her. Well, that's just obvious then. You didn't follow God's rules. You forgot how God does things. You didn't keep God's way of doing things as the affection, the joy. What else do we have? The affection, the joy, the love, the courage, that if I do it the Most High's way, it's going to work out. Because, and how many people are locked up in prison to this day behind bringing after some woman? In jail right now, at a bar right now, putting a needle in your arm right now, because of unrequited love. You didn't follow God's rules. You forgot how God does things. Or you let nobody guide you or show you how the Father does things. So this is what you stuck with. So now the woman who was tender among you, very delicate, and once she was tender, you made her the pedestal. You made her everything. Reading on verse 56.
56. It says, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set her sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom.
So why is she not looking for somebody else? She didn't use the Most High's guide. She so somebody said pray on it. Not go read what God says a good man is. Pray on it. But he seems like a godly man. He knows all the gospel songs. He got good hair. He must be the one. He had that soft, velvety voice. He likes sleeping little boys, but he a down-low-ass nigga, but reading on.
And toward her son and toward her daughter. 57. And toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet.
Because kids were important to you, but not her. That's what you had in your mind. That's not what she had in her mind. So how many men are out here going crazy like, she has kids, so why is she acting like this? No, Nick, because those are your kids. She acted like because she didn't want them. Wherever you found her, however you found her, that wasn't the life she was looking for. Because she was out here living her life the way she was in her life. The birth control pill, she might have missed a dose. You all have been doing your business. Okay. Now you on child support. Now your kids are getting all types of abuse. Again, because you went by what was important to you. You went by what was affectionate to you. You didn't go by God's rules. You didn't go by how God's way of doing things. And now there's that fear of the sorrow. There's that fear of what's she doing. There's that fear of where are my kids at. There's that fear of what was Cisco song? Someone sleeping in my bed, in my room.
That was Drew Hill.
Drew Hill?
Yeah. Somebody sleeping in my bed.
That's what you left with. Because you forgot how the Most High does things. We forgot how the Most High wants things done to guide our actions, to guide our how we operate, to guide how we do things. So now this is what we're stuck with. But the Most High has given us the things he's given us to be a shield, to be a protection, to be a help. Let's get Psalm chapter 105, verse 9. Hey, Amadi, if you can hear the show now, hear the broadcast, text me a 1.
Psalm 105, verse 9.
Psalms 115 and verse 9.
Oh, Israel, trust thou in the Lord.
So saying what now?
Trust thou in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord. Trust in his rule, his rules for guiding your actions. His rules for guiding you in the way. We're supposed to trust in that. Read.
He is our help and our shield.
If we do it his way, he is our what?
Help and our shield.
He's our help. And if we do it his way, he's also our what?
Our shield.
What's the shield do? It protects you. All the stuff that's coming at you, that shield, I guess I think that Marvel got Captain America out or the fucking Winter Soldier. What's the shield do? It protects.
It's behind you when you're shooting an arrow.
A shield protects you. Right. They put the shield up. It's a protection. The Most High is giving us his rules for guiding your life, for guiding your actions, for guiding your thoughts. He says, let this become your joy. Let this become your affection. Let this become what you love. Get this, it will be your, one time,
help and your shield.
It will be your help. And it will be your shield. That what father wants to see his son go through some bad shit? What father hates his son so much, I just want you destroyed? The Father has given us his rules and his way of guiding our actions so it can be our help and be our shield. But we don't like to listen. We want to feel like we know something that the Father don't know. If he's the creator of the universe, doesn't he know what he created to be bad and evil out here? Even in construction zone, don't they give you a detour?
You know,
yeah,